I invite you to give your attention to our study this evening, a study in evangelism and church planting. And tonight we're going to take a look at a more narrow slice of the work of outreach. And I want you to understand this in the context of all the other things that I've said, that there is an emphasis in church planting, and especially from a reform perspective, that there's an emphasis on the Word of God. There's emphasis on the preaching of God's Word and on the work of God's Spirit in the context of the institution of the church. And I've said all along that that is not to say that there aren't other aspects to outreach. And so I'm taking up that subject tonight. We're going to look at some other aspects to the outreach work of the church. Be led especially in our thinking by a chapter in the book by Hyde and Limbs, chapter 7, that's titled Church Planting, A Covenantal and Organic Approach. The author, Paul Murphy, describes some very typical expressions of outreach, and ones that we also see as appropriate, ones that we've participated in, things like door-to-door work that we've done that has included a simple invitation that's sometimes given out, or information. Sometimes we've gone door-to-door seeking to have conversations. We've initiated those conversations through surveys or invitations to Bible studies. We've done literature and Bible distribution on a variety of scales, from being on campus during Lights on Stillwater or on campus in other arrangements. We've done book tables, again on campus or in other settings. They're all aimed at having conversations with people. And I like to think of it as starting a relationship. Typically, we give an invitation to church or an invitation to engage in a Bible study. And it is part of the work of evangelism, but oftentimes it's just the beginning stages. And those are fairly typical expressions of outreach that congregations engage in. Murphy talks about two different concepts that will help us to shape our idea of outreach, and I really appreciated these two different aspects. So we're going to not only talk about Murphy's opinion of them, but I'd like to open it up to be a little more interactive tonight by asking you to engage with this information and to think about our own settings in the ways that Murphy suggests. And the two concepts are the title for his chapter. It's a covenantal and organic approach. I'm going to start with organic. By the way, let me give you a caution here. I'm going to give you some very specific examples of the way that Murphy engages in outreach and how he applies these things. And there is a temptation to look at other churches and to say, "Oh, that's working there. Let's do it here." And without any consideration, just kind of lift it and try to plug it in our setting. And what that fails to do is, in this arena, it fails to give due consideration to the context in which we're in. You might remember that last week I urged you to think about the context that we are in. I said that Enid is not Stillwater. And so the approaches that we have taken in Stillwater are not the ones that are exactly the same in Enid. And there's some things that will come up in our study tonight that will highlight that. I laugh a little bit because as I've read a lot about church planting and evangelism, there's a phrase that people have adopted to describe this. There's a well-known, very successful megachurch called Willow Creek. And people look at Willow Creek and say, they did it there. If we just do it here, we'll have a church just like Willow Creek. And they call it they call it willowing, by lifting it and taking it into their setting. So, with that caution, let's go ahead and think about an organic understanding or an organic approach to outreach. Murphy says this about an organic concept of outreach. Specifically, the mission strategy would be this. Find out where needs are in your community and meet them with the gospel. Very simple, isn't it? He says it's earthy, human, and organic. So in this case, organic means natural. It doesn't mean no pesticides. It means that it rises naturally out of the setting. And that does lie underneath the idea of organic too, but you know, when we think of groceries or produce. But it's a very helpful description, and one that has been something that has structured our own thoughts about outreach in Stillwater. I'm going to describe some things that Murphy has put into place in his own setting and give you examples by that. But I want you to be thinking in the back of your mind, what is our community like? What are the needs of our community? And how have we or how can we serve to meet those needs? So this is where I'm saying I want to be a little more interactive tonight. So I'm going to be calling on you to volunteer some things about your observations about our own community and how we have or how we might be able to meet those needs. So here's a couple of examples. Paul Murphy serves in a church in New York City. And New York City is not Stillwater. Let me tell you that there's some differences there between those two settings. He describes three different areas where they have sought to organically address the needs of their community. The first one is that they have, for many years, hosted a lunchtime Bible study in the Wall Street District. A lunchtime Bible study in the Wall Street District. And there they meet with businessmen, those that are engaged in economics and in management and in often high-powered business situations. So, what might you imagine would be topics? By the way, they have topical Bible studies over the lunch hour to feed your soul over the lunch hour, is what he describes. What might you imagine would be topics that businessmen would be interested in?
God's provision.
Okay, God's provision. Just call out any things that come to mind.
Godly business practices.
Yeah, very good. Ethics, business practices.
Taxes.
Family relationships.
Work.
Sabbath.
Oh, wow, yeah. I didn't jot that one down. That's good. Yeah. You're touching on some of these already, but did you know that businessmen have concerns and they have brokenness and hurts as well? What might be some of the hurts or concerns that they would be interested in addressing?
Fear of market instability.
Yeah. Yeah. Fear of the future, fear of instability.
Guilt.
Yeah, I imagine that guilt would be part of what they deal with.
Backing off the family. I think they're just marriage difficulties, family difficulties.
Yeah. Relationships, marriage, family, children, the hours that some of the men work are probably horrendous. Well, good. Those are the type of questions that you go through in assessing your community. And you look at your community and say, what is our community like? And within that community, what are the needs that we might face in those? In addition, one other topic that he mentions there is, and under this the subject of work, he just talks about being a good employee and how that is an incredible witness in the business world. And just the cutthroat nature of the stock market and economics, the whole idea of being a faithful worker, it just stands as a testimony, even speaks louder than having a Bible on your desk, as the work ethic that you have, or the Christian work ethic that you have, which is different than the worldly work ethic. Here's a second area of need that they've identified. Mr. Murphy describes being a part of the community, and as one of his roles, he was can't remember if it was in Rotary or what setting it was, but he had gotten to know some of the public school officials in his area, and he found that in the New York City area that there's a large immigrant population there, and that in the public schools there was a rising need in the high schools and in other areas for English as a second language. Said that there were, I think it's the high school that was right within their area, had something like 3,000 members or 3,000 students, and almost a third of them have trouble with English as communication. So 1,000 students that were having trouble in school because they couldn't communicate. So he offered to start an ESL program. And the program that he proposed was up front. He wasn't trying to hide anything. He said, we're a church, and we have a Bible-based ESL program, one that starts by reading in the Gospel of Mark. And the school board said, when can you start? We need people to be engaged with these students so that they learn English. And so, in the context of teaching English, they then get to engage about grammar, and the specific instance that he describes is Mark calling Jesus the Son of God, not a Son of God, and just to talk about the differences between a and the, and in that context laying out, here's what Christianity teaches about Jesus, that he is the unique Savior, the unique Son of God who came to deliver us from our sins. So again, a way that they understood their context and have sought to meet the needs. A third area where they have understood a local need is to become a volunteer chaplain at a local hospital. Again, being engaged in their community, found that their local hospital didn't have anyone that was volunteering to talk to people in their hour of need, when they're sick and when they're in the hospital. And so he and several lay members of the congregation volunteered to go through a training program so that they could serve as certified chaplains in their hospital. There again, it's right up front. They're wanting to minister to people in need, and they come in and they share the comfort of God's word, especially as people are sick and suffering. In each of those cases, we could ask the same type of questions. In fact, let me do that. Let me ask, what type of questions might an immigrant family be wrestling with? what kind of needs or what kind of topics might they might be especially interesting to them? Yeah, provision for their family and food, basic food sources and things like that.
Understanding American culture.
Culture, yeah. How about the hospital setting? What might be topics of interest to those that are in the hospital? Sure, yeah, death and dying. What happens after this life?
Enduring suffering. Dying and causing.
Yeah. Does that happen?
Yeah, why has this happened? If this has happened to me, is God bad? Enduring suffering? Those are things that Amber and Jonathan have said here. Good. Those are... they're very appropriate topics in each of those settings. Those are descriptions of Murphy's setting. Now let's think together about Stillwater, and let's just be creative here and work in a sense together to describe our community. Let's start by describing what our community is like. And then we'll ask the questions, so what does that segment of community, what are some of the needs or topics that would be interesting to them? What are some of the aspects of Stillwater that come to mind?
College town.
Good. That very quickly is identified. It's a college town, lots of students and professors.
A lot of internationals.
Good, yeah, there are internationals here in Stillwater. Good, small businesses.
Here. Yeah, and then there's a bunch of football fans.
Every once in a while, yeah. Football is something people are really interested in. Do you know that the retirement population of Stillwater has been growing over the last 10 or 15 years? That's another segment of our community that is growing.
The homeless population.
There is a homeless population. Kind of following up on in that arena a little bit. Our congregation knows very well this statistic, but whenever community people are asked about the needs of our community, one of the highest ranking ones is unwed motherhood. That's part of the picture of our community. Let's take a few of those and talk about those together. Let's talk about the college community. What are some of the needs or topics that are pertinent to students first, and then we'll talk about professors?
Why am I failing this class?
Why am I failing? How many weeks are left in school?
What does God want me to do with my life?
Yeah, what
does God want me to do with my life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Marriage, yeah. Ethics, yeah.
Priorities. Responsibility.
Yeah, responsibility.
Alcohol abuse.
Ooh, yeah, alcohol abuse. Promiscuity. Relationships. Oftentimes, college students are away from their parents for the first time in their lives, and so it provides an opportunity for them to question whether the beliefs and teachings and morals that they've been raised with, if those are the ones that they hold to as well. What about professors? What kind of concerns might they face?
Getting paid?
Getting tenure, yes.
Why are all my students failing?
Any stewardship as far as bringing up kids to be successful in the world and glorify God?
Good. He said stewardship, and that it's very Christian professor worldview of helping your students serve in the world. Good.
Family relationships.
Mommy.
That's going to be a common theme in a lot of different communities. How do I relate to my wife, to my husband, to my children, to my coworkers? Yeah. Let's take another one. Let's take internationals. What are some of the needs that internationals here in Stillwater face?
Learning English.
Communication, English, much like Mr. Murphy found in New York City.
Friendships.
Friendships. Food. How do I get back and forth to Walmart?
Healthcare.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is a good one. Yep. Yeah, that's right. How can I stay here in the U.S.? Yeah. Good. Let's take another one. Let's take unwed mothers. What might they face?
Providing for their family.
Yeah, provision for my family, for my children. Yeah. Medical care. Education, relationships, again. Even the question, will or won't I keep this child would be a question that they sometimes face. I've been leading you along a little bit, and I hope that you would recognize then how in Stillwater that we've sought to address the college community. There's a very deliberate reason why we are on campus with a Bible study, a worldview Bible study that's engaging students where they are with the questions that they're asking. And we're trying to be involved in that community with internationals. A large part of the congregation is involved with reaching out to internationals on a variety of levels, whether it be socially or through Hands Abroad, through areas of helps and Bible studies. Unwed Mothers, Stillwater Life Services has been a deliberate engagement of our congregation with a specific need here in our community. Could mention children and our decision to reach out with Vacation Bible School during the summertime. Again, has been to deliberately interact with the children in our community. With that in mind, I've listed things that we've already engaged in, some things that we've decided to do. Let me ask you if there are areas that we are not engaged in right now, or areas of need that you identify that we could talk about tonight and consider as other areas of outreach. We mentioned a couple of things that were mentioned were the elderly population, the homeless, mercy needs. Vicki?
Small businesses.
Small businesses, yeah.
I know there's a Christian group of small business leaders
that are outreach. Let me ask one of our small business owners if there's any. Vicki's saying that that's a that is part of our communities, and is there? I do know that there's a Christian organization of small businessmen, and is there any connection or outreach to non-Christians?
I haven't seen it as much recently. You know, like we're talking about Terry Carpenter's group of bankers. It's been a little bit less formal in recent years. Not as many gatherings and such, but it's kind of more like a fellowship-based thing that he'll use that network to encourage people to get involved in different mercy needs and so on. And so then there's evangelism that goes along with that, but there's not really, seen any sort of kind of more organized or formal outreach program from that directly, other than distributing information or kind of getting everybody in the know.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to be as strong a network as having a Wall Street right here in Stillwater, or where there would be a businessman's community. But that's not in a sense it's not a circle I walk in, but it is a circle that's part of Stillwater. And the point is that you do walk in a variety of different circles and come to understand your own circle and think of the needs that are there. Now, we mentioned the elderly population. What might be needs or areas of outreach to them? Hannah? That is really a huge one, that there's a loneliness among the elderly and just the desire for fellowship, for conversation, that someone that would be in regular contact. Yeah.
Transportation.
Transportation is a great need. Vicki? Yeah. Yeah, a schedule that revolves around doctor visits can be either discouraging or confusing. Go ahead.
We had a thing called Adopt a Youth Program. We have kids assigned to elderly people, and we're supposed to make sure to talk to them in church or contact them, write letters or something. Maybe pass on some wisdom and then pass up some fun and social life.
Yeah. So that was initiated from the adults adopting the youth, or was it the other way around?
All adopt the youth, but it was more youth adopted.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. Well, I like that. The Adopt a Youth program. Yeah. That's a good example of a congregation understanding their own setting and working within that.
You mentioned this, but there seems to be a need for mentoring our youth in the home system, the general homeschool, and our teens. And we've seen in the paper several that have run-ins with the law, and people we had done from basketball, but you know, we kind of ran out since that's an area of need for family and Stillwater for Christian youth and mentoring. They leave the homeschool community and they enter the public school.
That is a real crucial time period, the mid to late teen period, where if it's sometimes it doesn't wait till you go away to college, where questions and challenges start to rise up, and that's just within the Christian community, and there's the whole. Broader community where the discipling and reaching out to teens really is a need. This has really been, I think, a good evening to to think about this first aspect. I'm not going to rush on to the second aspect of covenantal tonight. To close off, let me encourage you to think of your own life and your own circle of experience with this in mind. We're praying that God would stir up within us a mentality that is mission-minded, would understand how we engage with the world around us. Think of the circle of your own experiences with this in mind, and pray for these type of organic approaches to our own community. And as you do that, pray especially for your own circles of experience and of influence, and pray that God would save sinners in that light. By the way, I hope that I might mention for the children that this morning you heard an example of this from Mrs. Heron as she described her grandmother, as she interacted naturally in her own setting. She was the one going to doctors, but in those settings she was sharing Jesus. And Mary this afternoon asked me, how can I be like Mrs. Heron's grandmother? Oh. And so what I told her is that you need to understand who it is you naturally interact with and invite them to church and share Jesus. And that's if you were willowing it, you'd say, I've got to go to doctors. And Mary would be wanting to go to doctors and to tell the patients in the waiting room and telling the doctors about Jesus. And well, that's not where Mary is right now. Mary's at the YMCA and at dance. And so we've encouraged her to understand her setting. And you too, understand your setting. Pray that God would help you to understand the needs that are there. Where's the brokenness? Where are the hurts? How can I naturally speak of Christ in that setting? I said I'll save the second half of this for our next, that you can start to think about how a covenantal approach to outreach would look. Let's close in a prayer, and then we'll share prayer requests. So I do want to pray over these things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the way that you have scattered us like seeds in our own community. You've given us a wide variety of interests and a wide variety of contacts. And I pray that as we interact with the world around us, that you would give us compassion and understanding. I pray that you would help us to interact in a godly way and in a natural way. Let Christ come up naturally in our conversations and in our relationships. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.